This sermon has been revised. The current version is 3:2014.
Today is June 24th, year 2007, the feast day of our patron saint, the Nativity of St. John the Baptist, and it's also the fourth Sunday after Pentecost this year. I'm going to just make a brief sermon here. Well, who knows, it may turn out being longer than I think, but I think it's just going to be brief. I'm going to be quoting from some great commentaries on the life of St. John the Baptist that we would, all Catholics would be well to imitate. But we're going to start reading from portions of it. Zachary, being struck with exceeding terror and amazement, the angel encouraged him, assuring him that his prayer was heard, and that in consequence thereof his wife, though she was called barren, should conceive and bear him a son, adding, "Thou shalt call his name John, and he shall be great before God." He did not call him great in the world, in honors, in riches, or applause. These false titles being mere emptiness and smoke, fraught with snares and secret poison. Nor did he say he would be great in the deceitful judgment and foolish opinion of men, who, not knowing things as they are in themselves, seldom weigh them in a just balance and often give them names contrary to what they ought to bear, calling darkness light, and light darkness, and that which is bitter sweet and sweet bitter. But he who is great before God is great indeed. He's already telling us that most of his people in the world are going to look at God's chosen people, faithful, good Catholics, as being fools and idiots, because they don't know what real greatness is. They're more interested in being called great by men of the world and not by God. But he's saying, what could be greater than if God himself calls you great? That's true greatness, not the false greatness that people seek after in the world. These American dreamers that we're talking about. The praises of our saint are truly admirable because bestowed on him by the sovereign truth, they exceed all other commendations. His matchless excellency, which intimated by the name which was given him by heaven, for he was called John, which would signify one filled with grace. John was chosen by God to be a herald and a harbinger of the world's Redeemer and a voice to proclaim to men the eternal word, the morning star to usher in the Son of Justice and the light of the world. Okay, now we're going to go back on, come over to this other page. That's just a very interesting comment. Great before God, not before men. Matter of fact, men think it's the opposite. Who's great before God, men think are the big losers. But at the end, when their judgment comes, oh, do they find out different, don't they? And then we read here more about John, going over to this other page. In the like fervent suspiciousness of gratitude and praise, ought we to recite with the church the inspired canticle of this holy prophet. We possess the infinite treasure of divine grace in frail vessels, and walk continually upon the brink of precipices amidst rocks and dangers. Therefore, we are bound always to fear and to use the utmost caution, lest we fall and lose the most precious of all excellent gifts, to teach us with what watchfulness and care we are bound to preserve and earnestly labor continually to improve it by humble and penitential life, by assiduous prayer, by an application to the practice of all good works, and a scrupulous fight of dangerous occasions. The Baptist was inspired by the Holy Ghost to retire in his tender years into the wilderness. He devoted himself to the exercises of holy prayer, leading a most austere and penitential life. His garment was of a rough camel's hair, girt about with a leathern girdle. He went into the desert, where the air was more pure, the heavens more open, God more familiar, that till the time of his preaching was come, he might employ his prayer in the company of angels. He remained in the desert even when he began to preach penance. St. Jerome writes, neither the tenderness nor the riches of his devout parents could hold him in the plentiful house amidst dangers of the world. He lived in the desert and disdained to behold other things, with eyes which coveted to see Christ. His remnant was coarse as food, locusts, and wild honey. All these things are conducive to virtue and constancy. This solitude he chose. He chose for his dwelling, lest the purity of his heart should be sullied. And his penance was most austere, being the path of innocence and virtue, is that of the cross of mortification. How loudly does his penitential youth condemn those pretended Christians whose life is altogether earthly, and who, instead of curbing their inclinations and keeping their senses in due subjection, study by softness and pleasure to gratify them almost in everything. They renounce forever the happiness which Christ has promised to his followers who did not take his word and actions for the only rule of their conduct. St. John, by his retirement, calls upon us to disengage our hearts from the ties of this world, and frequently to imitate in our closet his exercises in the wilderness. The world is like a perspective which can only be seen in the true point of light at a distance. You have to remove yourself from it, because when you're in it, you can't see the traps and the confusion and the chaos. Even though your life is miserable, you don't even acknowledge it. So those in the world cannot really see the world for what it is unless they remove themselves from it, stand on the outside of it, look out, and get close to God, and then say, wow, this world is ugly. And he's going to get onto that. By holy retirement and by conversing often with heaven, the fascination of its enhancements will fall from before our eyes, and we shall see it. We shall see it has nothing which ought not to be to a Christian heart an object of contempt, abhorrence, and dread. He says you will then begin to hate the world that you used to like, to hate all those things that you thought were important, to look back and say how empty and shallow, how vain and false, how greedy and materialistic, how vicious and nasty it is, this world out there. And only when you are willing to remove yourself, and if you don't do this, guess what? There's no choice. You don't save yourself. St. James says, whosoever is a friend of the world is not a friend of God. The world is made up of vanity, danger, and sin. If you find yourself wanting to socialize with non-Catholics, you're already in damnation. I mean socialize. I don't mean you can't be friendly with non-Catholics. You certainly could. They can be your friends on the natural, outside plane, but not socially friendly. I always say that. Be very careful, you people out there that are socially friendly with non-Catholics, that go out there and find your spare time pleasures out there. You're in damnation immediately on that one point alone. Your heart should be with God, and your heart of hearts and recreation and social time should all be wanting to be with good Catholics, so you can praise God and have the one mind and the one heart and the one spirit. I say that many times. People, birds of the of a like resort unto their own kind. Ecclesiasticus 27:10 and Amos 3:3, shall two walk together except they be agreed. So we're learning that if we don't separate ourselves from this world and we want ourselves to be socially friendly with it, we're in damnation on that point alone. Look at all the things that we're reading about the world. It's full of vanity and danger and sin. Its goods and enjoyments are short-lived and uncertain, and in themselves false and empty. Its pains real and grievous, and its promises treachery and deceit. All those pains are for naught that you suffer in the world. It's for damnation, because it's not done for the true God. And it's as a punishment for all the sins, because you are in that world. It is now so worn out that its cheats are so clearly discovered by long experience, according to the observance of St. Augustine, that it ought long ago to have lost its false painted charms. Those who seek for happiness in the world, to fools, who should with great pains seek for roses and tulips on nettles and briars, which instead of yielding flowers can only prick and wound their hands. It is covered with a thick darkness, which intercepts the sight of heavenly things. It is filled with snares in every part, and its vanities and pleasures are fraught with deadly poison. We must enter it with a holy fear, must converse in it with watchfulness, and continually fortify our souls against the infections of its air by antidotes of frequent meditation, prayer, and self-denial. He's saying, and then if we're armed, then we can go out into that world. But even when we go out in that world, be careful. It's a combat. Don't become friends with it. Don't be socially friend with it. Go out as far as you need and come back in and realize it's a dangerous place. If you find yourself loving non-Catholics, to be social, I'm not saying not loving them as persons. We do love them as persons for their souls, but loving their ways, being socially friendly with them, loving to be conversing with them as the best thing, you're in damnation. You're in damnation. That's where your heart is. You're in damnation. I say it many times. And people have all excuses as why they want to go on. Well, because they're my family members, and if I don't speak to them, who's going to speak to them? Someone needs to talk to them. Well, have you tried to convert them already? Yeah, well, then what are you going back to for if they're not listening? If they're obstinate. Now, I'm not saying, I always go over this, not to talk with family members, you could if they're willing to listen, but when they're not, you've been out there, there's a difference between really trying to convert them and becoming socially friendly with them. Because I always say it, examine your heart. I'll say this to people in Mary's Little Remnant, even if you don't find yourself really wanting to be here, even if you can't. Not everybody could be here together. Bruce Gott's got his apple orchard up there in Colorado. He needs to be there. I'm not saying everybody has to be here in TRC, but I will say one thing. If your heart's not with the brothers and you don't really desire to be here, and then something's keeping you away from even unless you're visiting and wanting to be with us, you're in damnation right now. You're on the road to hell, even if you're Catholic. You're on the road to hell. I'm warning you. Be careful. Examine your heart, because if you burn with the love of God, you're going to want to be around godly people who talk about God all the time. And if that's not happening, you're on the road to hell. You're not in a state of grace, period. Okay? And that's a warning. Where how many times, and don't use it, you can use 1,000 excuses as why you want to stay out in that world. It all amounts to the same thing in the eyes of God. You choose to be socially friendly and spend your spare time with non-Catholics and the evil world instead of with Catholics and good Catholics and non-Catholic with Catholic people. That's the end of it. We end off this little reading here. Thus shall we learn to live in the world so as not to be of it, to use it as if we used it not, and possess it as if not to be possessed or captivated by it. All right, now we'll stop this. And we're going to read about what we were just talking about. And it has to do with a verse about St. John saying that if anyone come to your house and bring out this doctrine, do not say God speed you, or anybody who revolts from the doctrine of Christ hath not God. And there's a commentary on here that has a lot to do with showing where our hearts are. And he tells us what our attitude ought to be towards non-Catholics and the evil world, the system of the evil world. What our attitude ought to be, even though we can't go out of it. A lot of us have to work in it. But here's a great commentary on what a good Catholic's dispositions are towards the world. And it's the commentary on, we're talking here about 2 John chapter 1, verse 10, and here's the commentary. Though in such times and places where the community or most part be infected, necessity often forced the faithful to converse with such in worldly affairs, to salute them, to eat and speak with them. In other words, if you live in you're surrounded by all heretics and all apostates, and you have to go out and buy food from them and have them help you, you have no choice but to communicate with them. In that case, she'll allow you to do that in worldly affairs. Okay? In worldly affairs. But listen, yet even in worldly conversation and secular acts of our life, we must avoid them as much as we may, because their familiarity is many ways contagious and noisome to good men, namely to the simple. But see, in other words, even in worldly matters, you must seek as much as possible to avoid them, not to be with them unless you absolutely have to be with them. And you can still, you got to treat them friendly, and they could be your friends, and you have to love them. But that doesn't mean to be socially friendly. I say that again. To all you people out there that are socializing with non-Catholics, and that's where your heart is. You're in damnation. I'm saying that to the people who are Catholic. And a lot of people aren't even Catholic. That's another issue. I'm not going to get into that now. But I will tell you that if you're overly friendly with people out in that world that aren't Catholic and you're socializing with them, you're already in a state of damnation on that point alone. And he says, because their familiarity in many ways is contagious and noisome to good men. If you love God, you don't even want to be around. What for? For what purpose? He's not filling my mind with anything of any worth, but either just plain neutral stuff or even trash eventually. If you're socializing with him, it's going to be all trash because he doesn't have true wisdom. Now, this is what it says about matters of religion, though. This is important to all those modern ecumenists. This condemns them. But in matter of religion, in praying, reading their books, hearing their sermons, presence at their service, partaking of their sacraments, and all other communicating with them in spiritual things is a great damnable sin to deal with them.
And formal heresy.
And this condemns the apostate Diamond Brothers and all those other people that say you can go in there and not only attend the services of notorious heretics at non-Catholic churches, you can pray and commune with them and receive the sacraments side by side with them. And this is the constant teaching of the church that all these people who are telling you can do that
are formal heretics, and
they're leaving you outside the church on the road of damnation. It's damnable. If it's so much dangerous even to be in worldly communication, it is beyond any doubt unquestionable that in religious things you can have nothing to do with them in their religious matters. That's powerful stuff right there. And we'll end up with the other quote. This is the second quote on verse 10. St. Irenaeus reporteth a notable story of this holy apostle, this is St. John, touching this point out of St. Polycarp, which is this. There be some, saith he, that have heard Polycarp say that when John the disciple of our Lord was going to Ephesus into Bath to wash himself and saw Cerinthus the heretic within the same, he suddenly skipped out, saying that he feared lest the bath should fall because Cerinthus the enemy of truth was within. He wouldn't even take a bath next to the guy in a secular place, and these apostate diamonds and these other bastards that are putting the mass before the faith are telling you to go in there and pray with them, receive Holy Communion side by side with them. It's abomination. It's unthinkable that people should be even contemplating these things while an ounce of Catholic common sense. They don't have Catholic common sense because you wouldn't be doing that if you are Catholic. I say common sense even because a pagan even knows that. We had little children even rebuke their parents and say, Mommy, if we don't believe like them, then why are we here? What are we doing in this church if we don't believe like them? What are you, crazy? Now we go on to read from here. So saith he of St. John, and addeth also a likeworthy example of St. Polycarp himself, who on the time of meeting Marcion the heretic, and the said Marcion called upon him, and asking him whether he knew him not. Yes, quoth Polycarp, I know thee for Satan's son and heir. So great fear, says St. Irenaeus, had the apostles and their disciples to communicate in word only with such as were adulterers or corruptors of the truth. As St. Paul also warned when he said, a man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, avoid. So far Irenaeus, if then to speak with them or to salute them is so earnestly to be avoided according to the apostles' example and doctrine, what a sin it is to flatter them, to serve them, to marry with them, and so forth, and to pray with them, and to attend their religious services. This is an abomination, and it's just more of the true Catholic Church's teachings that have been denied for centuries now. We're talking for a long time now, this stuff has been going on. But that's what the true Catholic Church teaches, and I'm warning all you people out there, even some of our brothers who out there are saying you're Catholic, and I'm not saying you're not Catholic, I'm just trying to give you some admonitions to become good Catholics. Examine all your consciences and where your heart of hearts is, where you really want to be. And if you're really saying to yourself, well, I know I'm weak, I know I got to do this, well, you better get on your horse and start doing it, because you may die tomorrow and go to hell. You don't tempt God. This is the day of salvation. Let this be the day you turn your heart in the right direction. If you find yourself being repulsed by being around good Catholics, that's a sure sign that you're a bad Catholic and on the road to hell. It's a done deal, I guarantee you, that if you die with that repulsion in your heart, you're going to be damned on your judgment day. I'm telling you to examine your consciences very deeply, every one of you out there who call yourself Catholic, even those who are Catholic. Where is your heart of hearts? Are you still attracted more to the world and be socially friendly with non-Catholics, or simply your repulsion? It's called schism. The schism is also a sin of being repulsed by
not
wanting to be around good Catholics. That's schism. That's another sin to add on top of that. But I know there's a lot of people that are struggling to be in the camp right now, maybe, and some that are feeling repulsion. Get rid of that repulsion. We're praying for you to get rid of it. And that you'll find out the longer you over, if you fight against it and pray God to help you, He will. And then you're going to find out, boy, I love it here. I must have been stupid in the first place for ever loving the world. It happens to all of us in stages. I'm just pushing people to let them know. Don't take it for granted. Don't abuse the graces God has given you. God has a way of punishing people out in the world, and He wants them to convert it. He'll take away all those precious things they love. He'll punish them by taking away their homes, their houses, and their jobs. He'll punish them by making their life out in that world miserable so they can turn around and look to God and say, there's got to be something more than this world, Lord. It's a wretched place. And then God says, yeah, you know that, and you knew that for a long time, but now I'm forcing you to face the facts again. And examine your conscience and look where your heart of hearts is and where you'd rather be. And then if you say, I am repulsed, or I don't want to be around good Catholics, then you have to go deeper and say, why don't you want to be around them? What is it that's preventing you? What vice in your life are you committing that's preventing you from being wanting to be around good Catholics? What sin are you committing in your life? What love in the world do you have that's keeping you from loving God the way you should? What's holding you back? A secret love of family members because you still don't want to move away from them. A secret love of a vice that you're committing in your life that you don't want to give up. You better examine your consciences now, because salvation is a serious thing. And very few people are saved. Even out of the promised land, out of 2 million of people that came out of Egypt, only 2 entered the promised land. I'm telling you, be on guard for your salvation. And you have to be concerned about your own soul above everything else. And we appeal to our patron saint, St. John the Baptist, who's a patron saint on my website, to help you people understand and examine his life, examine Christ's life, examine what they're teaching you, examine what they're saying to you, and pray to St. John to help you to overcome your love of the world and your excessive luxuries and your excessive greedy materialism and Americanism, so you can really become a good Catholic and get rid of all these mortally sinful vices. Pray for St. John to help you with that. And I guarantee you will find out when you come onto the side where we are, boy, this is the life, this is the peace, this is the joy. Everything else out there in that world really is an illusion. All these people you want to go out and talk to, all these non-Catholics that you were socially friendly with, become so empty you can hardly bear to, you can't even bear to be around them other than to convert them. There's some that are more bearable, but even then, they're not giving you the deposit of the faith. So this is a good way for people to examine their conscience, who's even in our little group right here. I tell you this many times and I'm telling it again. Find out where your heart of hearts is and who it is you'd rather be socialized with. And if you're repulsed by being around good Catholics, you're in a state of damnation. You got a lot of work to do. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
This recording is produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. Visit our St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us or email me, Richard Joseph Michael Ibrani, at rjmi@johnthebaptist.us or send for a catalog to the just mentioned address.